episode 60.
They have a visual attachment live, what's going on, direct to their phone. And the key is that what we can't measure is the viral activity that goes on with these private messages. All right. There's no mechanism out there currently that measures the travel, the virility of those videos. However, the first thing out of their mouth is when they come back in is they'll go, man, I shared this with a couple of friends. They can't believe that my technician sends videos to them.
Welcome aftermarketers to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter.
A warm welcome to Greg Buckley, part two from Buckley's Auto Care, Wilmington, Delaware. Greg, are you ready to go on point?
Absolutely, Carm. Let's get rolling here, bud.
Hello, hello, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to episode 60, an on-point interview with shop owner Greg Buckley. Remember, podcasts are on-demand radio, wherever and whenever you want to listen. They are also evergreen. Never forget about the back catalog of quality content. It's a fact. You listen to as many older episodes as you do new ones. So don't hesitate to go back to an older episode from, say, 6 months ago, not because you can, but because you don't want to miss a gem of an idea or get an assurance that you need to move yourself or your business forward. And if you're a new listener, hey, welcome. You can catch up on all the back episodes. Now, Greg Buckley from Buckley's Auto Care in Wilmington, Delaware. Greg did an entrepreneur interview back with us on episode 19. It's a classic. Don't miss it. Now, after hooking up with Greg in Detroit this summer at NACE Cars and being in two seminars he was teaching, I knew that we needed to have him on again. So he was involved in our first face-to-face episode all about social media. Greg is like white on rice on the power of the hardware you have in your hand, like your smartphone or tablet, to create and develop content you can use to build your brand and connect with your customers. Greg not only practices and develops these strategies, he teaches his passion for ATI. This episode is slightly longer than you are used to, so don't give up on the episode partway through. Believe me, it's stocked with nuggets. There for the picking. If you must listen to this over two sittings or on a long commute, please do. Don't leave any time out. Greg brings his forward thinking directly to you and drives the message around building your brand and why your smartphone or tablet is one of the most important tools in your toolbox. Want to know how profound this episode is? Greg makes an analogy between your smartphone and the attendant at the full-service gas station of yesteryear. Now, if you think that's a stretch, you've got to listen. He's right on. Here we go. Enjoy. Well, Greg, it's great to have you back. And I should have written this down. You were on an earlier episode, maybe a couple of months ago. We had a blast talking. We talked about Buckley's Auto Care. And then I hooked up with you at NACE in Detroit. We had some good times, went out to dinner, and I saw you give a seminar. And I think you may be a cousin to Bill Gates because you are a techno something. You're a geek. In fact, oh, that's a Beanie propeller sitting on the shelf in your office. That's really cool. So I said, hey, why don't we get together and just have a little discussion about, say, shop technology review, but not from the Bayes perspective, you know, from the counter out, social media, connectivity, smartphone, and let's just have an early morning cup of coffee chat about social, Blab, Periscope, YouTube videos, and all the things that are important today to kind of do business with millennials. But Greg, at the same time, a big piece of your customer base is boomers, and how are they adapting to the technology? So let's just start by asking, how should social work inside of an automotive repair shop today?
Well, I think, Carm, I'm not really sure if you would call it social from in the Bay. It's actually just, you know, what the sales technology or technology inside the Bay, just flat out technology and how you use it. And there's a difference between software and hardware. It's really, there's buku things out there for software where you can, you know, push it to social. You mentioned some words that are probably really foreign to a lot of shops, you know, Periscope, Blab, Meerkat. gosh, even some of the stalwarts of YouTube and all that, you know, that's still foreign, you know, to a lot. And the thing with NACE and what I've really been talking about lately is really, you know, the adoption of hardware, not using hardware properly. When you say from the counter out, you know, each piece of equipment that we purchase really has to be able to make a return for us, right? You buy the tire, you buy the latest, greatest tire machine, you know, that, you know, does everything, roll over there and boom, the tire's done. Well, that's got to make money for you. The alignment rack's got to make money for you. You know, you get it. Everybody gets it. Well, so should every piece of technology hardware should do the same. And a lot of times we get hung up on the fact that it's good for one function only, and that's it. Well, that's not true. You know, the smartphone, you know, if like I say in the seminar, you know, if you're using the smartphone just for emails and texts, you might as well just have a rotary phone on your wrist. You know, it's just, there's more to it. You know, same with everybody's buying tablets now. Tablets can be extracted for value in various ways because of the way, you know, because of the software they contain. And at Buckley's, we've launched into the AutoVitals shop flow program. And we're taking our time with it, and we're seeing not only the value of the digital inspection pieces, which are pretty awesome, and that's taking coordination. But one of the things that I am definitely moving forward with is how to make those tablets more integrated into the technicians' lives, from even outside the shop. So, you know, over the past, I guess it's been about maybe 3 or 4 months now. You know, I physically got back into the shop. I mean, if I'm going to work this program, you know, I'm going to work it from mm-hmm. the technician side. I know what the counter does with it, but I got to put myself in a position that, okay, well, how does the tech going to feel about this? How are we going to make it work?
Very,
you know,
smart.
So you got to be real with it. You really do. And that's where, you know, the hardware and how this is, you're going to learn. I don't believe you can do it any other way. You can sit back in a chair and manage the technology. No big deal. But you have to learn the ergonomics of what this is about. You have to know how these techs are handling it. So you got to jump in, you know, and it's not like I'm rebuilding motors. No, I'm doing the, you know, basically the maintenances and the light work and things that I can be flexible with.
And I think this tablet thing that you're talking about, fabulous stuff. And you're right. I think mm-hmm. you're probably going to figure out and invent some things that don't even exist today and how to integrate that, like you say, into the entire ecosystem of mm-hmm. of your shop. My thing with social is really that customer facing piece, and okay. and I get the tablet thing on how you probably can take a picture of the rusted rotor and send it to the shop, and maybe does the tech do it, the service writer do it? How do you reach out with social on all of your platforms?
Well, that's where I was getting to, because where you're producing and creating content within the bays, that's your novel. That's what you write every day. So as I move forward with these tablets, they are content machines, right?
Right.
So we have synced up. What I've been able to do is to take every device. This is all about how I really tell shops when I'm coaching at ATI. I'm really telling shops, listen, you've got to get into an ecosystem. You know, make it Android, make it iOS. I don't care. But, you know, I prefer iOS because there's reasons. However, whatever's produced out of those tablets comes back to one device, mine. And from there, I structure content out of it. Any picture, any video. You know, if I want to communicate socially, my tablet has the ability to create that piece and get it out. So I'm aggregating the content from the tablets, right? And then I'm producing a post about it. It's fair, you know.
And that post is going to the customer to get an authorization?
No, it's going to that website you just seen.
Ah.
I will create that, and because of my, I mean, okay.
I see what you're saying.
It.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Got it.
We're grabbing these pieces of information, you know, all this stuff, and we're now able to aggregate it and then curate it and put it out. I mean, so what you witnessed, you can put this on or not, I don't care, but you saw this week how active I was socially, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so that was done in part because of, we had great stuff going on, you know, how to rebuff a wheel, you know, do a wheel out, hood struts, rusted frames. All right, all that was part of the inspection process. So collecting it on a tablet, sending it, you know, as long as we are networked, it gets to my phone, I can go ahead and do it, or it can reverse itself. I can send those files back to the tablet as an instructional piece for, let's say you had a young tech, what to look for. So content, as we all know, is key, but yet people are so afraid of thinking, I can't write. You don't have to write. You just have to be able to look at what you're making and produce it. I mean, you're doing it every day.
I think you make a great point. I got to stop you for a minute. The piece on the rusted truck, mm-hmm. that was phenomenal. And now I get what you're saying. It not only was good for a public demonstration, if you will, for people to see about how you would refuse to repair the vehicle because of how mm-hmm. rusted the A-frame was and all of the components in this vehicle. It was something you didn't want to work on because it wasn't safe to drive. But it could also become a coaching and teaching piece for future technicians, for apprentices in a shop. He says, listen, this is a great example. You need to go out and watch that rusted video that we created. And amazing. There wasn't a producer. There wasn't a director. You didn't have $1 million camera. There weren't any lights. And it was well done.
Yeah, well, that's the key, is people are, and that's where we get back into saying, you got to know your hardware. You know, in class and even at NACE, what did I say? I said, you guys think you went years ago, everybody went out and bought a brand new PC and they sat on the desk. And what are you going to do with it? Oh, I'm going to send emails. And that's what he did. Forget the spreadsheets, forget the pictures, forget making movies. Instead of using the remaining 99.9% of the capabilities of of your desktop PC. Right. So now we're doing the same thing with phones. Ask a person, and I've seen, you know, before each class, we'll send out a survey about what they use their hardware for. And it comes back, pictures, Facebook, a text message. But nobody says, oh, you know, I really do communicate with my clients that well, you know, with these tools. And now it's just so amazing. And, you know, hardware is very key, very key.
How do you, I got to rephrase this. How many shop owners, how many techs and bays, how many service writers can, number one, find the time to do this and feel confident? I mean, I guess, like anything, I guess if you're going to be good at golf, you've got to pick up a club, right?
Well, yeah, you have to coach your staff. I mean, really, you need that time with them. And we during our huddles, these guys know what I'm doing. And I might be walking around from their service bay as well, and I'm doing a piece while they're working. And they'll see me. And then we'll have a say, look, guys, this is what we do. This is what we review. And again, because we are in the we're syncing everything up, everybody will see exactly what I'm doing, you know, from the counter to the bay. And the tablets, as I said, you know, we're sharing everything from within the bay, and then I'm making it socially available, you know, and it can go on and on where, you know, we've got the apps aligned so that I hit a button and it's on YouTube. I can share it directly on Facebook, you know. Here's a case in point. All right. And I made an emphasis at NACE. You know, within 3 minutes, I not only confirmed and proved to the customer that his truck was severely rotted and that we needed, you know, severe, you know, additional repairs. Right. I turned around and hit the app button, put boom, boom, boom. I had it on YouTube. Within 24 hours, I had a social conversation about that truck. So that's the power of what you have in your hand. Now, that social situation back on YouTube is now producing revenue. It's generating ad revenue, and it's also being used for to collect or to, you know, get your prospects there, you know, because they're seeing your expertise.
You see the future. You've got that vision of where the investment of your time in these videos inside the shop are going, and what it means to Buckley Auto Care. However, is there an ROI you could put your finger on? Because you said, well, why would I want to do this if I can't improve my shop in certain ways? There's some intangibles here. What's the tangible?
Well, yeah, there's always a return. And this is where you have to look at what the content. Again, let's go back to content. All right. So in the example that I showed at NACE, I gave how many examples at NACE? Three examples. The one being where the gentleman who saw us on YouTube brought his Subaru in, right? That was a $4,000 job. Brought his wife's cars in. All right, so now he's up to about a $6,500 lifetime return rate right at the moment. This is over a period of, 2 years? That video, again, was made in a minute 43 seconds back in 2011. All right, so what's the return on that? What would you think an ROI would be?
There isn't one. There isn't, you'd say, oh my God, I'm going to get a $4,000 job in 5 years. You can't even fathom that would have ever happened.
Well, you couldn't, but it did. That's where you start to realize.
And so I wrote down, as you were saying all this, content investment. And I think that's probably the whole underlying theme of our discussion. You can buy it, you can steal it, or you could make it your own.
Well, the biggest thing, going back to that last statement you just said, the biggest thing about making your own content is that because that is the most valuable situation you can put yourself in. You can buy content, but that content's going to be shared by somebody else as well. It doesn't have your stamp on it. You know, it doesn't have your brand. And one of the key things is when you're building your brand, all right, socially, all right, you have to put yourself as the expert the word expert can be used very vaguely, but what you're simply doing is just promoting the fact of what you do at your shop, how you do it. And for me, it's not about a promotional situation. It's about a situation that's going on. It could be, it's more educationally bent than anything. You know, I want you to know the hood struts. I want you to know that, hey, look, replace these struts, please, because yes, you will have, I could get injured as a technician, right? Okay. That wasn't selfish. It's fact. But again, I turned around and said, you know what? Your driver, you could be as injured as well, because when they collapse, it's without warning. So those type of elements, are very important. So you need to understand how to do these little things. But it's just part of the conversation.
It seems to me that slick is nice, but it doesn't bring the hominess. And I love the let me flip the camera around and boom, now you're taking a shot from the other camera in the phone. And even though it was quick in how you've, you know, managed your hardware, I think people are willing to put up with that because it's you. You are building, as you say, the brand, but I love the hominess of it. I love the it's not phony. It's real. When I go to this place, literally I could touch it. It's not like a slick commercial done somewhere that, okay, there's some kind of land that was, who knows if anything when that picture was real.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is it's real. It's you, it's your people. You go, I mean, your techs are live. They're working on things.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things. Millennials, and boy, I'm always getting tired of saying the word millennials. I really do. It's like we're branding a whole demographic, and sometimes that's just not fair. But anyway, nonetheless, people
digital
are
natives.
Digital natives. That's a good one. I like that. Digital natives. Okay. Those digital natives. They can see through phony in a heartbeat. They can see the commercial situation. And you are leading me into an incredible point that I really think needs to be brought out because it just happened recently, as you've noticed, a lot of changes. Those younger, you know, are so – they're not immune to advertising. They just can really spot the fake stuff real quick. So those – people, those shops or those businesses that think you need a professional bumper in the back and a professional trailer in the back, in the rear of their things, forget, you know, it's a lot of waste of time. It really is. You are there to be report as quick as possible, as raw as possible. You need to make it real because that's where it's all going. It's, you know, Periscope. What's fascinating about that app is that you can jump on and you can find out live what's happening in places like Budapest with the migrant story, okay? The immigration concerns from Europe, just the other day I was on it. Or, hey, something more relevant, you could find out what's going on in Ferguson, you know, when the riots were going on and the recent. So those type of elements are what people are attracted to. So if you want a professional slick commercial, put it on TV, put it in an ad, you know, I don't feel that YouTube or video is that type of area, you know, for you to do that in. It's TV because that's what it is. It's a commercial. What I do is not a commercial. It's education, you know, and I like to have it raw. You know, if I make a mistake, I make a mistake. If I talk something personal, something happens, hey, great, no problem. So, you know, that's a huge benefit.
Edumercial. Coming up with a new word here. Education, no. Yet it's not a commercial.
You're such a wordsmith.
No, I don't know. I'm not even sure what I am.
Webster's going to love you.
This is so interesting. Your point about the millennial digital natives, whatever we want to call our young group as of 2015, 75.3 million millennials, the biggest part of the workforce that we have. And I love what you said. They know if it's phony. Why? Because this is their life.
Right.
This is what they do. They picture, here I am. Where are my friends? Here's what we're doing. And I think it is the greatest. I think you've picked a great forum to exchange intelligent content and information, not only from a editorial piece, like here's this thing on this rusted vehicle or the hood mounts. Talk to us about sharing with your customer. They come in for their vehicle. Sure. You take a quick video, and I'd love to know what it's taking you to do that and what the reactions of your customers are.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we this week alone, I think we were almost 100%. I think we were 100% in terms of the process that we're developing. And, you know, it's a matter of customer comes in. We have our inspection processes in place, right? The first thing we do is welcome, of course, you know, we've gotten all the specifics, you know, then we bring in for what we plan on doing is a digital inspection piece. Prior to that though, that I will, you know, walk around, introduce the vehicle, and send them a welcome or an open video, you know, an open text message directly to their phone. You know, if they're capable of course, that's in the counter interview. Mm-hmm. We have all of that. And from that point on, if I'm doing an inspection or I'm with a tech who's doing an inspection, we will highlight the most important pieces and then we will use the inspection process as the backup, as the formidable, here you go, this is our sheet. But prior to that, we have that, you know, boom, at the car inspection going on. Hey, Carm, this is Greg. Hey, look, I want to let you know we're inspecting your vehicle right now, but I want to give you some highlights of what's happening here right now. And by the way, we see that your strut is leaking. Take a look at this. You've got a rear sway bar that's a little bit worn. We want to take care of that for you. Your fluids, Carm, look at your fluid board here. It's a little weak. So we're putting that on an inspection sheet. I'm going to have my service team contact you with some estimates, and then we're going to get, you go from there. All right. So this is Greg. Thanks much. We'll talk to you soon.
Wait a minute. So you're saying you're doing this precursor to what's going on so that when they end up getting their estimate, they have a better feel for why?
Yeah. Yeah. They have a visual attachment live. What's going on direct to their phone.
So, but you believe the precursor, this
absolutely,
intro video is just as important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the key is that what we can't measure is the viral activity that goes on with these private messages. All right. There's no mechanism out there currently that measures the travel, the virility of those videos. However, the first thing out of their mouth is when they come back in, is they'll go, man, I shared this with a couple of friends. They can't believe that my technician sends videos to them. In fact, we had one lady, it was funny. We had one lady come in with her Solero, and it came in for a tire repair and an oil service, right? So at the end of this repair, which led to full rear brake system, calipers, hoses, because when we took the tire off, we showed her and I did a quick clip saying, hey, listen, you know, your brakes aren't working the way you think they are, and you're trailering with the Solero, which is kind of, you know, strange to begin with, but all this weight, you know, you're not working, your brakes aren't working, yeah, to that effect. Mm-hmm. So I sent it to her directly. We had the estimate up, you know, the counter has the estimate. Remember now, I'm sharing what I produce at the bay, I instantly relay to the counter. So the counter is aware of the video, right? So now they see it. The sales team knows where my head's at. It knows where it wants to go. We're doing the inspection. All this is taking place in you know, real time. Customer gets it. The job from a, let's say a $50, $60 repair turned into $1,200 because, and we secured it very fast because we worked mobile. We put all that out. She came back at the end of the day, and at the counter, she said, I love the video. That is just awesome. In fact, I turned to a colleague and I said to him, watch this. And the colleague who said, oh, I deal with them too, but I never got a video. And she said, well, maybe your car wasn't that bad of shape.
But well, that's a great logical conclusion.
Yeah,
there,
that's just one example where we can't see the virility of these videos. They do travel. I mean, because people are so overwhelmed that they get to see a bird's eye view and it's live.
I talk about it a lot, Greg. It's called a buzz. Yeah. You're creating a buzz.
You're creating a buzz. But you know what I talk about in class? That's your brand.
That's
you
right.
You're building your
Absolutely.
Brand. With no other way. I mean, when you think of Buckley's, you think of transparency, technology. Hey, you're communicating. And you can command maybe a little bit more than the marketplace can. You're elevating your game. I'm not putting price in front of this because it's not fair. I'm looking at the branding situation of this. Completely brand. You know,
I understand.
Your trust. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is where knowing your hardware and what you can do with it is so important. And, you know, it's funny because, again, they'll look at you like, oh, that's just a phone. It's just a phone. It's just a phone. No, it's not a phone. You know, it's a money-making device. And that's what it's a utility.
It's a communicator.
Yeah, communicate. Right? There you go.
You remember Star Trek?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and how they
communicate.
Beam me up, Scotty.
The palm of your hands.
Exactly. And, well, you said it right there. You know, you have the tools that are there. And again, if I was in the Bay, let's say I am in the Bay again, but you know, a technician needs to have a toolbox. They've got their toolbox. Every tool has a purpose. Some have multiple purposes. You know, the wrench, you know, the 14 millimeter wrench can be used in various ways for different, you know, different situations. Gosh, there's so many things. As an owner, we need to look at the tools that we use to market our companies and to keep them going. And there's nothing more exciting than what's coming into the mobile devices. You know, we can operate your business. I mean, just think about it. You really could command your whole business with your smartphone, you know, with the apps that are out there. And that's the goal, because we wear so many hats. We want to do everything. We want to take advantage of this new media, you know, this content situation. Yet we decline or we hesitate in looking at what we already have. We don't extract the value. We're looking for that next silver shiny object that's going to say, oh my God, that's my solution right there. Yeah. I'm going to put my money into it. And then you find out, well,
great point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just a guy that, and you know, I just get in there and I dig and I dig and I dig and I look at these apps and platforms and how this information can go from point A to point B. And it's really a series of connecting the dots. You really have to look at it like, all right, I'm going to do this. It's going to go there. I'm going to put it here. I can do it there. What are the benefits? Okay, I've got someone who has learned now. I have another plate of someone who's trained now. And they're all with the tools and devices that they have in their hand.
If you're not in the shop, who does these for you? Your brother, your service writer?
My brother, right. And now my service writer, he has started. We will begin his full-time training after the 9th when Apple comes out with its new iOS.
Yeah, okay. But here's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Counters are busy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure
no
you
question.
Have a very busy organization. And mm-hmm. if you weren't working on your business and not in it and could pull yourself away to do these, to build this technology, to build your brand, how does the service writer have a chance to leave his counter and go out with the phones ringing and people standing there and waiting and estimating? How does he get a chance to pull them out?
It's a great point, you know, and the question I come back to you at is, well, is it really going to be the service writer?
Well, okay.
Is the service,
and that's where I'm driving.
So
who's right. really I responsible
mean,
here?
There's going to have to be a decision made based on each shop's individual
capabilities.
Business.
Yeah.
Capabilities.
Yeah.
If they are to one, develop a person who does this type of stuff. Can they pay for themselves? But let's think of this, Carm. My role prior to, going full-time technician and building the business, my first role was what? As a pump jockey. I clearly say a petroleum transfer engineer. Excuse me.
Oh, excuse me. Mm-hmm.
So so that started 8. What was my role in that process? Taking care of customers, getting them to move into the shop. Getting the can of oil, being the representative of the business. I was the first line of sales, like any fuel island attendant was. All right?
Right.
You were the front line of sales. All right. So from that point on, is this an evolution of what the full attendant is today? All right. Just because I'm doing it doesn't mean that somebody else can't do it. It's how you think of developing that position. And is there a return on that position?
Got it.
Well, if I can boost our sales by an extra 10,000 a week or even 5,000 a week, it doesn't matter. Your percentages will change. Everything will be different for each shop. Is that position worthy of continuing? And that's where a shop owner has to look at it. So I'm just...
You're changing your role, Greg. You're changing your role to bringing this, if you will, new piece of technology under your belt and saying, I'm not sure where this fits, but I know it's important. So who's going to do it? Let me look around. It's going to be me.
Yes, it's going to be me. However, me is just a placeholder yeah. for somebody else until there can be a complete, fully ROI'd position and you're done.
And you're going, yeah, and you're going to make it part of your culture, part of how your business works and runs, because the customer is going to get to a point where they're going to expect.
Exactly.
I'm back to work. It's 30 minutes later. I'm waiting for my text video from Buckley's and I expect to know this.
Right. Some people are actually doing that right now. Not many, but because it's all brand new, but we have repeats that have said, okay, can you show me? And, you say,
that's
yeah,
a signal for take a video and send it to me.
Exactly. We'll communicate via text. But
customer drops off their car. They're waiting in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. Would you bring them in the, I know the answer to this question. Sure. You bring them in the shop and say, hey, look, here's what we found.
Sure.
So this is an encouragement for people that they don't have to hang around to really know because they have they can get the visual now.
Right. Right. They're welcomed, but for Buckley's Auto Care, we don't get a lot of waiters. There's a lot of drop-offs, and that's fine because now they don't have to wait around.
Right.
We can do these things live. We did the live Google Hangout. We had a live FaceTime event. So knowing what system they're in is important. We do that with the interview. Are you Android or are you iPhone? Because it makes a difference in how you communicate or what app you're going to go with. So, they don't need to hang around. And that's the beauty of it, because we can prove our point very rapidly. We can secure a profitable ticket very fast, you know, and we can instill the trust that's necessary and build the brand. That's the key elements.
You keep talking apps. Apps. Is there a Buckley Auto Care app?
We have a mobile web app. Yes, we do.
And how many customers have gotten it and put it on their phone?
Well, right now we've currently blown up to about 600, you know, where we have those. And it's a mobile app. We contain the virtual advisor. It's called the Mobilizer. We have that on there. And the web app, it's simple? It's not that simple, but we incorporate a lot of things. We can incorporate the Gas Buddy. We give them, you know, where they can buy best gas at. We give them tips. Our YouTube channel is embedded into the app so that they need any car care tips, they go right to the channel. Again, that gives me the reason to produce the content because there's always right there they want to learn. They can make their appointments. You know, they can do a lot with the app, and there's a hot button that if they need to call us right away, or if they need an emergency breakdown right away, or they have an emergency breakdown, they can call directly to our tow company. You know, all that is right there.
Do you believe shops are going to need to have their own app on their customer's phone?
It'll be helpful. Yes. I don't say that it's not a live and die situation, but you know, we can go into deeper stuff.
Part of branding.
It's part of branding. Yeah. And actually that'll be pretty critical. We'll elevate the conversation here a little bit in terms of technology, because and I'll swing this back to you out of respect for what you're doing. Over the last couple of months, you've brought on some fantastic guests. The gentleman that was talking about telematics, mm-hmm. Was that episode 42? I think.
Yeah. Or Roger Lando.
Yeah. Lando. Right.
Lando. Yeah.
And what he was describing was the different types of like CarPlay, all the third mm-hmm. parties that are going to want to integrate, and the value that can be there, and then the scary part of having that third party in. And actually, he brought to light a great point. He says car manufacturers are kind of like being forced into this situation where they're going to have to give up, you know, the dash stack
to somebody for competitive reasons, right?
Not so much competitive. It's because that's the only way they'll be able to sell a car.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. I meant if I walk in and I'm an Android guy and Google wasn't, if my Android software wasn't available, I may not be interested in his car, right?
That's right. Right. Exactly. So it with what he was talking about, with the scary part of third parties not being able to secure their software, he made a real valid point, and I really have to agree with it. Apple and its iOS is extremely secure. Google is not, and Google will, you don't need to do anything specific to build within Google. With Apple and its iOS, you are really restricted. I mean, because they don't want any problems with their software. And combining it with what Roger was saying about telematics and, you know, the GM and Ford and all these manufacturers don't want third parties to have access, but again, they're going to need to because customers are asking for it. It's going to have a whole bunch of problems. Now, are they opportunities to work on vehicles that say that, you know, my Android software isn't working right, Greg. Can you fix it? Can you take care of it? It seems to be funky. You go, okay, well, that's another service we're going to have to grow into. I'm trying to get to the point, Carm, where Apple this week blew away a lot of people when they had two very big statements, which I think is very favorable to CarPlay and what Roger was getting to. Apple's decided to kind of partner with IBM, you know, from a business perspective, all right, to develop business softwares. They also are eliminating third-party ads using their Safari browser. So you'll be able to block ads and all of that coming through the Safari browser. So that puts a hindrance on any like Google and its ad-based programs and stuff like that. And Apple is really creating its own, and we go back to this word again, ecosystem. And that ecosystem is private. Like right now, what I'm doing with Buckley's is that if you're an iOS owner, right, if you have an iPhone, we can put you into a, you know, a closed loop situation where every time you're in, you have, you can update the pictures of your car, the clip, the videos that we make of your car, and it's all private. You can share it with your own private base. So these type of things are coming at us where we're able to really be very private, and it can act, still act like a social system. Okay. It's really interesting. Google, on the other hand, is pretty much so open, and they're there to collect information. That's how they survive. That's how they make money. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting how this format plays in your vehicle. You know, is it going to be CarPlay? Is it, you know, who's going to like what? You know, how much information are you going to give away for yourself in either CarPlay or, well, CarPlay, you won't have any. You know, with Android, I'm afraid that you will be giving up a lot of info and the hacking situations that go on and all that good stuff. So he made some great points.
As a point, Donnie Cipher wrote an article recently called Digital Copyrights Present Challenges to the Automotive Aftermarket. And I contacted him and I said, hey, we've got to have an episode on this someday. Do we have to do an On Point on it? And I think it falls right into everything you're talking about now. I'm going to watch out for that, and hopefully we'll keep content alive, or at least get some good guests on to talk about that in the future.
Well, it just goes back to just saying, like I said, you know, learn what you can do with your hardware now, you know, because it's so important. And you can create your own conversations internally with customers. They can share it out the way they want to, you know, but you have to start. Shop owner has to start. You know, and I may say shop owners, I know other small businesses are doing the same thing. If you don't, you're gonna be spending a lot more money on trying to break through on this stuff. And it's really, as you go along, it's part of your process every day. It's really what I'm trying to do is, like I said, develop that third position or another position in the sales profit that makes itself. I keep going back to that service station environment that I grew up in, and those elements that are there from the front greeter on back, you know, that's a sales process. It really is. Mm-hmm. And now we're just updating it with the hardware that's capable of. I mean, I don't think any other way. And if shop owners can break it down to that level, saying, oh, okay, now I get it. Okay, you're the front guy. I need to look at that position and say, can we generate more revenue faster, quicker, better? You know, can we add our productivity up? And you can. I mean, if you can secure a job in 3 minutes instead of 3 hours, you're way ahead of the game.
Think about what that person would have to know. I mean, you're talking almost an ASE certified individual that can speak to the actual issue. I mean, we're not talking about a cheap person here, are we?
No, I don't think you're talking about an ASE tech. I just happen to be that guy. You know, that's all. You know, but can I take my service advisor and have him do the same thing? Sure, I can. He's not an ASE tech, you know, and right, neither would anyone else. It's really.
Oh, I see.
It's just a personality. It's someone who can greet you virtually up front and highlight some of the areas that we're going for. And you're introducing, you're welcoming the customer, you're telling them that this is the point where we're at with your vehicle. By the way, right away, Carm, we see that we need this front lower control arm bushing. All right. That's one thing that we're going to have an estimate for you. We're going to review all this stuff with you, Carm, but you know, before we go and proceed anything, it's just that warm up. That's what it is. You know, I mean, again, let's look at what I did at the island. You know, and anybody who did this did it at the island. You check the oil. You were looking for belts. Then you just say, okay, if I was at the island and I saw, well, you know, Carm, we have belt survey. Take a look at this. And you know, I noticed a drip here coming out of your valve cover gasket. You know, why don't we just, you know, take it over and let's look at our tech and let's see, bring you in and make an appointment for that. Okay, great. All right. So the next step is now it goes into the funnel, right?
That's right. You put
the customer into the funnel.
That's right.
So this is what you're doing up front. Yeah. You're getting the customer to deeper into the funnel, and you're doing it virtually.
Well, Greg, I can't tell you what a great morning cup of coffee discussion with you. And yes,
who said it was coffee? Oh, who said it was coffee?
I don't know. We seem to have our early morning cup of coffees. Yeah, I record these at all different times of the day, everyone. And Greg and I just so happen to like to do mornings, early mornings. Yeah. Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. This was a great, great episode, and I think it's going to end up being a classic, because we're talking about cutting edge stuff. We're talking about stuff that people need to get out of their comfort zone and realize the value and the benefits that working with, as you said, that piece of hardware, and what else can it do to help generate connections,
revenue.
Content,
yeah.
Revenue.
Yeah, it's very important, Carm. It is. I know that we're coming up on the hour here. But again, I want to emphasize that, look, every shop owner can do, you know, I'm not unique in a sense that, you know, we're breaking ground. I think we're doing something different with the tools and elements that we have already with us. Mm-hmm. And I'm passionate about trying to educate the shop owners, how to do it better, how to utilize this for their own benefits. It's so important. It really is. And it's neat. It really is. It just, you know, for us guys, for me, get back to the customer. And by the way, before I end this show with
sure.
you,
yeah.
I'm going to start a war, because David Tool,
yeah,
Dave, I like you, buddy, but you may have the best coast, but we here in the East, we're the beast coast. All right. So get that straight. We're the beast coast. So, you know, don't be putting this left coast, East coast, because the beast will beat the best.
Okay. We just started a coastal war.
Absolutely. Excellent. That was the purpose. It was a great interview you had with Dave. And actually, Carm, you really did have some great guests. You know, it was great to listen to Dave, to Roger, and even to Bill and his immigration story from Baghdad?
From Baghdad? Yeah, from Baghdad. Yeah,
yeah. Super stuff. So everybody should really keep listening. And, you know, I can invite you and join us for a blab session.
Yeah, you know what? I wanted to talk about blab today and everything, but we've run out of time. But maybe one day. All right. Well, maybe one day. Well, I think we ran out of time for the tolerance of our listening audience. But maybe we'll have premium Greg Buckley content someday.
Ah, you've been reading my mind. I might be on that path a little bit, to be honest with you. So we'll have to see what comes about.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, man. We'll talk to you. Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.